Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start right there, and we're just going to share some things with you about, you know, the title of the message this morning is The Disciple Whom Jesus Loves. Now, you don't have to put all that on the tape. Listen, you could just put whom Jesus loves. But I want to emphasize the disciple whom Jesus loves and just talk about this morning a little bit. How many think the Lord, you know, how many have ever heard God loves you?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people need to get a revelation of that. Amen. And so we're going to talk about this morning, just a little while here. I got this title from the Apostle John, who in his writings, in the Gospel of John, that is, he said like five times, he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, he was either arrogant, conceited, or he had a revelation. Now, I've thought about this before, because when you study the Scriptures, you know, when you look at them a little closer, you dig a little deeper, you can see, literally see, that there must have been a little bit of rivalry between Peter and John. Now, you see that in the writings. Well, how do you see it? Well, there's a number of things. Well, one thing, you know, Peter cut off Malchus's ear, the high priest. None of the writers, Mark doesn't tell you who it was. Matthew doesn't tell you who it was. Luke doesn't tell you who it was, but John tells you who did it. When they went to Jesus' tomb after the women had said he'd been raised from the dead, John makes sure you know he outran him. When Jesus is risen from the dead, he's already been raised from the dead, and he's appearing to his disciples, and he comes to his disciples, and they're out there fishing, and they come to the shore when they know it's Jesus, and Jesus starts talking to them. He starts talking to Peter, and he tells him, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to, but when you get older, someone's going to stretch out your arms and take you a place you don't want to go. Yeah. Talking about what death he would die to glorify God, which he was crucified, see. And then as soon as he said that, the first thing Peter said is, what about that man? Yeah. And he pointed to John. Yeah. Yeah. So I can just imagine that when Peter gets his copy of the Gospel of John, he's doing pretty good until he hits about, you know, chapter 13, where he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter said, wait a minute. Say what? He reads a little further and he comes to chapter 19, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He comes to chapter 20, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Then in chapter 21, the last chapter, he has to endure twice that John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I can say about that time, Peter said, I don't even know if that's scripture. But John, I don't think that it was arrogance. I just think he had a revelation. He's the one that gave us the revelation of the love of God in his the epistles of John, 1 John. And so, of course, we understand that, you know, Peter, before, you know, the cross and all, and before being baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was a different person than what he became after he got born again and after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so, Peter got this same revelation that, you know what, God doesn't just love John, he loves Peter also. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't just love Peter, he doesn't just love John, you're the disciple whom Jesus loves.
Amen.
Amen. And we have to get a revelation of that, that we're the disciple whom Jesus loves. Amen? Now, let's talk about love just a little bit because, you know, our world doesn't understand what love is. Their definition of love is not God's definition of love. And, you know, their definition of love is if you love me, you agree with me. You agree with my lifestyle. You agree with everything I do. You never judge me. You know, that's a catch word even in the church. You're judging me. But you know, the Apostle Paul said that we're to judge those that are within the church. Well, I thought Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Well, you're going to have to study that a little bit closer because the scripture doesn't contradict itself. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, you're to judge those within the church. What did Jesus mean? Well, Jesus meant don't be judgmental. Don't be fault-finding. Don't nitpick about everything because you've got your own issues. But we have the thorough right to judge what's right and what's wrong. We're not judging people to heaven or to hell. That's above our pay grade. That belongs to God and His Word. Amen. But we do judge, amen, things that are right and things that are wrong according to the Scriptures, you know. Not just things that we like or we don't like. Doesn't matter, you know, whether we like it or not. It's what God said about it. Amen. I think all of you that, you know, eat cottage cheese, you got something wrong with you. And broccoli. But you may think the same thing about what I eat, all right? So Paul said, don't judge one another over those matters, didn't he? He said, don't judge, you know, if one, you know, eats broccoli and they got faith about it, then shut up about it, Paul said. That's a loose translation. If you don't eat broccoli, if you eat broccoli, eat it to the Lord. If you don't eat broccoli to the Lord, you don't eat it. Well, to the Lord, I don't eat it, all right? So, amen. So it didn't matter. See, there's some things we can get nitpicky about and so forth and so on, but there are some concrete things in God's Word. Now, here's the thing about modern-day teaching from people on love is that love never confronts me. Love never disagrees with me. Love never disagrees with anything I do, anything I say. Love always gives me what I want. Amen. And if you don't give me what I want, you don't love me. But did you know the truth? The true love doesn't give you what you think you need. True love gives you what you really need. Now, as parents, we should, you know, any of you that have raised children, you should, or you've ever been a child. Now, that should cover all of us, right? You ought to know by now that you can't give children, especially teenagers, what they think they need. Because they think they need far more freedom than they really need. Is that not right? And to them, because I believe it or not, I was a teenager at one time. Amen. Brother Kenny was. Well, okay, they laughed about that one, brother. They don't believe that one. But y'all do believe I was at one time, right? Kenny, I doubt that. But I was at one time. And I understand, see, you thought because my parents didn't let me do everything I wanted to do, keep the hours I wanted to keep, do the things I wanted to do, then they hated me. They were bad. They were against me. But the truth of the matter is, they've already been there. They've already lived life, and they were actually loving you. They were giving you what you need, not what you thought you needed. Your 12-year-old thinks that they need the keys to the car. I don't think they do. I'm not sure your 16-year-old does yet. Are you with me now? See, we have some unwritten laws that were written by society. They weren't written by God. People think, well, now that they've turned 18, they can do anything they want. Well, if they still live in your house, I don't think that's necessarily the law of God. Are you with me now? You have your house rules. Now, if you want to stay here, you obey the rules. You don't want to obey the rules, you're free to move.
Yeah, that's right.
I had a little bit, I don't know why I did, because I certainly didn't really live a lifestyle to have it. But I seemed to have a little more sense when I was a teenager. You know, all of my friends wanted to get out of the house, and, you know, some of the guys were like, let's share an apartment. Let's just put our resources together and share an apartment. And I thought, I ain't living with one of you slobs. You don't know how to cook. You don't know how to do laundry. You don't know how to make beds. You don't know how to iron clothes. I didn't know how to do any of it. I could cook fried hot dogs. You want to live off that for the rest of your life. But, nah. So a lot of times people think because we don't give them what they want, we don't affirm them in their sin, that we're haters or we don't love. But the truth of the matter is, true love will tell you the truth.
Amen.
Is that not right?
That's right?
If you're sitting with me at dinner and you got a piece of salad on your face, I'm going to tell you. Now, it may be offensive for a little bit when I say, hey, man, clean your face off. But aren't you glad I didn't let you walk all over Evansville with a piece of lettuce hanging off of your piece of taco or something?
Amen.
I mean, I'm just be front four like it. If you smile at me and there's a piece of chicken sticking in between your teeth, I say, man, go pluck your teeth out. Go floss. Now, I'm not doing that to hurt you. I'm doing that because I don't want people to see you looking that bad. I know you look better than that. Amen? Is that right? See, we need to understand that, you know, we need to put value on what God says. Is that not the truth? Amen? Now, so I want you to find Ephesians. Have you found it? Let's read this. I love this scripture. I'll tell you, this scripture, especially out of the Amplified Bible, it is so good. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, notice this, He's rich in mercy. You know, some people are rich in cattle or silver or gold or finances or, you know, whatever. But God's rich in mercy. He's got more than enough to spend. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Now listen to this out of the Amplified Bible, this last part of verse 4 where it says, for His great love wherewith He loved us. The Amplified Bible says it this way. This is so powerful. It says, because of and in order to satisfy the great, listen to this, listen to how it describes His love now, the great and wonderful and intense love which with He loved us. So God has a great, a wonderful, and intense love towards us. And the Amplified Bible says, in order to satisfy that. He wanted to satisfy it. Remember when he was a kid and you know, we had what we call puppy love. Anybody remember that? You know, your first, you know how they say your first flame never goes out? That's a lie. Because most of you don't even know who it was. It went out. That's the world for you. You know, your first puppy love and all. Have you ever been in love with somebody when you were a kid? You know what I'm talking about, in love, what we called love. Infatuation, but they weren't infatuated back. Can't satisfy that, can you? I think my first love, I was a first grader, and I was in love with a senior. And I rode the bus and she rode the bus and she was friendly to me and I just took that as a sign. This girl loves me. She didn't, all right? She really had her eyes on somebody else, okay? But have you know, you can't satisfy that because, you know, you can't do anything about it. God is so in love with us, He wants to satisfy it. He wants to do something for us. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, He wants to, you know how when you first, you know, you're with your spouse, when you first met and you first fell in love, you know, how you could talk on the phone for hours. You know what I'm saying? You know, and all that. But you were just trying, what you were trying to, well, Pastor Chuck for 30 seconds. But that was long for him. Yeah. It was an increase of, 25-fold. Amen. But how many understand, what are you trying to do? You just got love and you're trying to satisfy it. Amen. Well, God has love for us that He wants to satisfy. Amen. It's so intense inside of Him. It's so great. It's so wonderful that He's just looking to satisfy it. Hallelujah. I just say, God, satisfy you. Have a good time. But see, we have to be in a position. Now, look what He said. We have to be in a position to receive His love. Now, how do we love God? Let's stop here just for a minute. How do we love God? Well, you can get a lot of answers by that. You ask people, how do you love God? People say, well, I worship Him. Well, that's good. Well, I tithe. Well, that's good. Well, I come to church. That's good. But did you know Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. You'll keep my commandments. And of course, tithing would be a commandment. Going to the house of God would be a commandment. It's in the Hebrews. Worshiping God would be a commandment. But you see, when you break it down, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. And my Father, now listen to what He said. He said, and my Father and I will love you and will manifest ourselves to you. Now, I want you to think about this. Right? He said, if you keep my word, this is John 14, if you keep my word, if you love me, you'll keep my word, and my Father and I will love you, and we will manifest ourselves unto you. Let me ask you a question now, because I want you to see the meaning of this verse. It's deeper than just the surface of it. Does God love everybody? Yes. He does, doesn't He? Does He love the person that's out there not living for Him? Yes. He does. Does He love the worst criminal on the streets of Evansville? Yes. He does. And what does He mean when He says, if you keep my word, the Father and I will love you? You mean you won't love me if I don't keep your word? That's not what He's saying. He's saying, if you keep my word, I'll be able to manifest my love to you. I'll actually be able to love you back. I love you already, but I can't do anything for you unless you put yourself in a position to receive my love. See? See, that's what He's saying. He's not saying, if you don't do what I say, I don't like you. That's not what He's saying. He's simply saying, see, the word manifest is in there. That's John 14, 23 in that area. That word manifest means I'll be able to actually do something for you. I love you whether I can or do anything for not, but whether I can do anything for you or not, I love you, but it grieves me that I can't do everything I want to do for you. Yeah. Amen. And so God, and as a parent, you know that too. There's things that it grieves you because your children are putting themselves in a position where they're not going to have the best. And that grieves you. Amen. Now, notice what God did. Verse 4 again, God who's rich in mercy, for His great love with which He loved us. And then I like said, once again, the Amplified Bible says, in order to satisfy the great, wonderful, intense love which He loved us, He did something for us. Even when we were dead in sins, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, that's a pretty big deal, what God just did right there. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to raise you from the dead, and I'm going to seat you in heavenly places beside Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's something, folks. That's now, why? That verse 7 says that in the ages to come, that's just not time, not just this age, but in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What's God saying? He said, look, I wanted to put you in a position where I could just be good to you throughout eternity. We haven't seen anything yet. I mean, God's been good to us just by the first two verses that He raised us from the dead spiritually. He didn't have to do that. And that, not only did He raise us from the dead, He gave us joint seating with Jesus Christ. Woo, hallelujah. See, the revelation of that, we're still learning about it, right? We don't know it all yet, but we're still learning. But just doing that, God said, I'm not even done there. Throughout the ages, I'm going to show you good things. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to show my kindness towards you. I don't know what he's got planned, but I don't want to miss out on it. Amen. Amen. See, God told Israel, he said, you know, he said, I didn't call you because you were the greatest in number. He said, actually, you're the fewest people on the earth, group of people. He said, I called you because I loved you and I wanted to do things for you. And he went on to tell him, that's why I brought you out of Egypt, from the house of bondage, from Pharaoh the king. I did that because I loved you. God just wants to do things for you because he loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you see in the Old Testament, you'll see words that are akin to one another. And some of them are the same actual Hebrew word. You'll see, like in the old covenant, you'll see. Have you ever seen the word kindness in the old covenant? Or how have you ever seen loving kindness, mercy? You see those words, and they're all, for the most part, they're all one Hebrew word, which means covenant love. So when you see thy loving kindness is better than life, Psalm 63. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in your name, because your loving kindness is better than life. That word loving kindness there is the word covenant love. You know, I don't know how you pronounce it. I always pronounce it hased or hased, but it's a Hebrew word, and it just means the same thing. It just means, what it means is God's in love with us. He's in covenant with us. He loves us so much, he just longs to do something for you. He just wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. But see, we have to put ourselves in position to bless him. We have to put ourselves in position for him to be able to bless us. We have to put ourselves there. It's like I was saying, Brother Hagin said that the Lord, that he learned that God would do as much as he could for you. Amen. You know, he said he would bless a church as far as he can. It's on the positive truth that they're operating on. You know, God cannot bless outside of his word. Amen. Have you ever heard people say, I don't believe a loving God would send people to hell? Have you ever heard that said? It's unfortunate, but there are preachers that are preaching that now, that God is love, and therefore God wouldn't send anybody to hell. See, that's philosophizing. That's philosophy that Paul said, beware of philosophy. That philosophy is deducing something. Philosophy means, all right, God is love, so I deduce that because he's love, he wouldn't send you to hell. Well, he didn't say that. You said that. You deduced that, and you made a wrong deduction. Because here's the thing about God. We're looking at this thing totally wrong. We're already going to hell. Adam sent us there. God sent rescue to get us out. So loving God is not sending people to hell. People are sending themselves by rejecting a loving God's salvation. It's just like, and I've told you this before, but this was so classic. Too many preachers don't have the guts to say it, but Billy Graham's daughter, Ann, had the guts to say it. And I'm glad she said it after 9/11. After 9/11, we had preachers all over America saying, well, that was the judgment of God. God did that. And blaming it on God and so forth. And then they had her on TV and they asked her, they said, now, you know, why did, you know, a loving God allow this to happen? That was their question. Her answer was brilliant. She said, you'll have to remember, we kicked him out. We told him, get out of our government. Get out of our schools, and now you expect him to protect you after you kicked him out? Wow. We kicked him out. Wow. He wasn't anywhere to be. Now, of course, he rescued individuals in the midst of that. Don't misunderstand me. He did. There were people that their testimony said they were, the Lord told them, don't go to work today. One guy said he got in the building. He walked, this is where he worked. I feel goosebumps on me on this one. He walked into the building. He said, when I got into the lobby, he said, I heard, turn around and run. He said, I had no idea. He said, I just obeyed it, ran out the door. He said, I got out the door and I was playing hit that thing. Well, see, God was watching over people that he could have access and be kind to them and love them. He wanted to do it to everybody. But when you kick him out, what's he supposed to do? He doesn't have an avenue. He doesn't have a venue to get to you and to love you. Are y'all listen to what I'm saying this morning? See, he wants to love you, but we have to put ourselves in position for him to love us. We have to do that. Amen. So God told Israel, he said, I didn't pick you because you're the greatest. I picked you because I loved you. I blessed you because I loved you. I delivered you because I loved you. And I wanted to keep covenant with you. You know, Paul told us this in Romans. He said, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And he names a bunch of things, you know. Tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, perils, sword. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. And then he ends it with this. Neither any other created thing. I was reading that one day, Pastor Jack. Okay. Neither any other created thing. Okay. Everything was created but God. He just covered everything. He could have just said, nothing created is going to separate you. That covers it all, right? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Think about it. Amen. Now, all right, we're in Ephesians 2. Just go over to chapter 3. Let me read this. Are you getting something out of this morning? All right, so we have to put ourselves in position. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word, you know. Don't just think of that in terms of the don'ts, but there's a lot of do's. Amen? There's a lot of things that we're to do. You know, Pastor Chuck was talking a couple weeks ago about our confession. You think he knows a thing or two about it? I think he's an expert on it. And so he was talking about that. Well, how many know that's part of his word? Yes, right. If he's going to be able to manifest his love, you'd have to do what he said. Right. Yeah. See, and then I had taught on talking to the mountain, or what did I say? Facing your mountain. I don't remember. It was good, whatever it was. Get off the podcast. But it's like I quit getting on to people because they don't remember what I preached when I'm not remembering what I preached. Okay, it's like, all right, give them some slack. You don't even remember. It was good. Moving, thank you. See, Brian's paying attention. Hallelujah. How many think I should take Brian to lunch? Yeah. I'm not going to. I have before. All right. Now, how many understand that would be part of keeping his word, right? Speaking instead of you know, talking about the mountain all the time and how bad it is, do what Jesus said, which he said, speak to it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because see, when we say, you know, keep my commandments, well, then we can think, well, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. Well, all that's true, but that's not the only thing he said. He said a lot of other things that we would have to include that in. You know, and listen, he's going to be as good to you as far as he can. You know what? God, I don't know if I should say this. Well, I guess I can if it's the truth, right? God is being as good to you today as he possibly can.
Amen.
He's being as good to me today as he possibly can. Because he's longing intense to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't come under attack and, you know, it's all, you know, bombs and Dr. Pepper. There's attacks, okay? But God, even in the midst of those attacks, Paul said nothing will separate you from the love of God. Notice he didn't say you wouldn't have those.
Right.
He said they won't separate you. Come on, are you listening now?
Right.
What can separate me from the love of Christ? And then he blames, none of those things can. Now, he didn't say he wouldn't have, are you listening to me? I don't want to paint a picture to you like, okay, you know, if my life isn't just, you know, rosy in every area, then there must be something wrong. No, we come under attack. But even in the midst of the attack, Paul said, it won't separate you from the love of God. You just stay doing what God said. He's going to manifest His love to you. And in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Right? Through Him that's able to manifest His love to us, we're more than conquerors. See? Are you seeing how this works? See, God wants to love you, but you have to put yourself in position where He can love you. You don't believe in divine healing. If you don't believe in divine healing, how many know it's hard for God to manifest that to you? Because you're cutting Him off in that area. It's like a person that I know that they were raised, they didn't believe in speaking in tongues. They loved the Lord. They were Christian people. They didn't believe in speaking in tongues. Matter of fact, the wife, her husband was a seminary teacher in Bible school. Didn't believe. They believed the gifts of the Spirit had passed away, tongues had passed away. All that had passed away. So this is how they believed. He pastored a church. He taught in seminary. His wife was with him in all of this. But his wife just got so hungry for Jesus Christ. She got so hungry for God. She knew there was more. She got hungry for more. And she started opening herself up to receive more. And one day she's at the kitchen doing the dishes and said, Lord, I'll just take everything You have. And you know what? The next thing she did was start doing dishes in tongues. Come on. Why? Well, before she'd cut it out, but now she realizes, you know what? I want everything God's got. And God said, okay, all right. Now that you opened up, here you go. I'll give you something that your husband doesn't believe in. Yeah, we have a Baptist pastor coming. He preached for us at the Revival Center every year. And he was a great, great, great man of God, loved God. He became a Bapticostal. Let me know what a Bapticostal is. It's a Baptist that got filled with the Holy Ghost, and now they're Bapticostals. And so he said, me and my wife got hungry for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he said, so one night, he said, we went back, they had a 5-year-old boy. And so we told him, Mom and Dad's going to go in the bedroom, and we're going to pray. And you just stay outside here, and we'll be out in a little bit. So they go in there to pray, and the little boy goes up to the door, and he's listening to them pray, and they're asking God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And next thing you know, they're speaking in tongues. They pastor a Baptist church. This particular Baptist church, they don't speak in tongues. So they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the little boy doesn't say anything about it, but the next morning at church, he goes around to all the parishioners, and he's telling them, Mom and Dad got those tongues last night. Now, this pastor, he said, I was thinking about how am I ever going to announce this to my church, and my 5-year-old did in one service the next morning. Now, the good thing is they followed him in, and his Baptist church became Bapticostal. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But they had to open himself up for God to do it, see? I mean, he's not just going to run over you and say, you're going to speak in tongues whether you like it or not. Here you go. You remember how you used to feed your kid the peas, you know? You're going to eat the... It didn't work, did it? They came out on you. See, God's not going to force anything on us. He's not going to force His love on us. But if you'll open up, He'll show it to you. He's being as good to you and me as He possibly can today. We just need to position ourselves for Him to be better. That didn't come out right. We need to position ourselves for Him to be better. We need to position ourselves so He can do more for us. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. It's not like we're helping God, you know. God needs a little help here. Ephesians chapter 3. Go with me, and let's start out reading verse 17, Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So you have to ask yourself, where is my roots at? You know, roots are really important to the tree. Now, you know, we don't enjoy roots that much. I don't go around, look at those great roots on that tree. I enjoy the leaves. I enjoy the shade. I enjoy the beauty of it. But the beauty, the shade, all of that's coming from the roots. Is that right? It comes from the roots of the tree. See, there's a lot, your human body's like that if you think about it. I mean, you know, I'm looking out here, y'all look pretty today. Handsome, pretty, whatever, however the case may be. All right? I can tell you looked in a mirror. Well, most of you did. I saw Pastor Jerry, I'm sorry. No, I'm teasing. I'm just having some fun with him. But have me know, look, we spend money, and you may, I don't spend a whole lot. I don't buy shampoo or conditioner. It's just soap, baby. I mean, you know. But people spend money, lots of money. We're not opposed to this. They spend lots of money on makeup, shampoo, conditioner, face creams, potions. You know, jewelry, you know what I'm saying? Earrings and so forth. They spend a lot of money on that. Why? So they look nice and attractive. Well, we're for that. But did you know that when you get down to it, there are some parts of your body that are more important than your face? Think about it. You could lose your nose and still live. You could lose your lips and still live. You could lose your ears and still live. What happens if some of these internal organs that you spend no money on at all? Nobody buys anything for Christmas for their liver. Hey, look at this new watch I got. What'd your liver get? Well, nothing. You know, you want to get right down to it. He's doing a lot more important job than your pretty face is. Right? Your heart, your lung. See, we don't even want to see those parts. Is that right? If we see those parts, you know, people say, we don't want to see those. We see those parts, there's a problem, see? So we don't even want to see those parts. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to go there. But see, a lot of times we see the fruit in people's lives. But the truth of the matter is, that fruit came from where their roots are at. See, Isaiah 37, 31 says, Israel, God said, I'll bring Judah back and they will bear root downward and fruit upward. Well, see, the root downwards first. If you don't have your roots right, and you don't have them in the love of God, His love for you, if you got them based on something else, then your life's going to be unproductive. See, there are people. Now, we've just talked about this. I hope you get the balances. But Hebrews says it's a good thing that your heart's established with grace, not with meats or foods which don't profit but keep you occupied. Now, what is he saying? Well, you could say it like this. It's a good thing your heart's established in grace, not in the law of God. Because if your heart's established in what you do, then the fruit's going to come from you. You see that? But if your heart's established in God and His grace, then the fruit comes from His grace. We were going to buy, Phyllis and I, years ago, I feel like Johnny Appleseed, you know. We've lived in so many places since we've been here. We moved here in 1995, and we've lived in 11, maybe 12 houses. Some of them were our own, some of them we bought, some of them we just leased. But I like trees, she likes trees, okay? So almost, not quite, there was a lease house or so that we might not have, I don't remember, maybe two, three. We planted trees. And, you know, other people got the benefit of it. We go by, there's one house we planted, I go by there, man, it's got nice trees, huge trees. I think those are my trees. I'd like to have those trees now. You know, I mean, they're good-sized trees. But we plant those trees. But one day, we were at this nursery here in Evansville, And we were looking to buy trees, and we were just going to buy container trees, you know, trees that are still in a container that you can handle yourself and go plant. And so, you know, I saw this one, and it had gotten large. And this landscape company had dug holes in the ground, like round holes in the ground, so deep, and they set the pots in there. So I'm assuming they're dead, so the wind didn't blow them over. So they just set them in the ground. So I see this one tree, you know. I'm thinking, it's a nice birch tree. I want that tree. So me and a guy go over there, and he's, you know, its roots have gone through the container into the ground. Wow. So he's moving it back and forth, you know, he's trying to get it loose. And all of a sudden I hear a pop. It doesn't sound good. It's not my back. I'm not moving the tree. He's okay. It's not his back. It's the tree. So the root popped. So he said to me, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I will let you have this tree for 40% off because of that noise. And he said, but I'm not going to guarantee it's going to live. All right? I'm not going to guarantee it. But if you want it, I'll sell it to you for 40% off. I thought about it, and I thought, what's 40% off a dead tree?
Right. Come on.
A dead tree is a dead tree. So I said, no, I don't think so. And so, you know, so I decided, you know, here's what I'll do. I'll come back a few days later, and if the tree's still alive, I'll take that 40%. Yeah. So Phyllis and I come back a few days later, and you know what? Guess what? That tree is wilting. Its leaves are turning brown. Wow. It looks wilted. What happened? Well, that root was an important root. That was the tap root. And when it got broke, it cut off the life to the tree. See, when our roots aren't in the right place, we're not sapping into the life that we need to. Our roots need to be in the love of God, that God loves me. Hallelujah. Now let me say this to you. God may not approve of everything you're doing, but he still loves you the same.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't ever think that because you blew it, that God doesn't love you any longer. He still loves you the same as he always ever did. Think about your own children. When they blow it, he's like, you know, I don't love you any longer. No, you still love them the same. You're not happy with what happened. You're not happy with what they did. It's because you know that it will harm their life. Right? When I was 12 years old, I decided to go to the store and buy some cigarettes. So I walk into the store. And you have to understand that stores in those days are a little different than stores today. You actually had interaction with a human being. I mean, have you ever bought groceries and you go to that self-checkout thing? The one at Schnucks, I've talked to him about it. I said, man, she's cranky. I mean, she's like, put your groceries in the bag. I'm like, shut up, woman. I'll get to it. I told one of the employees, I said, man, what's with her today? I mean, give me some time here. I just swiped the stupid thing. Okay. Well, I go into the grocery store and I'm buying some cigarettes. They're not for dad, they're for me. I'm 12 years old. Right? So I go in there and I go in to buy the cigarettes. So I go up to the counter, I ask for some cigarettes, Marlboros. The lady looks at me. She says, are those for you? Well, of course not. They're for my dad. Well, where's he at? Well, he's outside. Will you tell him to come in and get him himself? Now, see, she ruined my day. I'm going to get them cigarettes and smoke every one of them on the back streets of Willisville. Rumbletown. I know you don't know where that's at, but it's they're real places. Pastor Chuck knows. Guess what? You know what? I look back now. I didn't like that. And you know what? Not only did she not sell me the cigarettes, she called my mom. and told her, your son just came in the store and tried to buy cigarettes. Now, I could have killed that woman that day. I could have shot her to death with my BB gun. But now that I'm older, I look back and say, what a good woman. What a good woman. That woman had enough sense to know a 12-year-old boy didn't need to come in there and buy cigarettes. She wasn't trying to hurt me. She was trying to keep me from killing myself. Are you with me now? God's the same way. He doesn't like everything we do, but he still loves us. And some of his discipline, it may not seem like love, but it's because he loves us. He cares for us. Amen? You know what the Bible tells us? I'll tell you, the Bible tells us there's no fear in love. When we get our roots into the love of God, it wipes fear out of our lives because we know that if we are in a position where God can manifest his love to us, there's nothing happen to us that's going to take us out. He's got it all under control. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.